produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.
My name is Debbie Keller, and my company is Home and Office Transitions. I provide move management services for individuals and companies. We were looking for a company with high-quality service, integrity, and one that was committed to the same high standards of customer service that we were. And we found all of those in Ewing Moving and Storage.
Glory. We're so happy you've joined us again for another episode of Gems for the Journey, Wisdom from the Word of God. And we're your hosts, Matt and Stephanie Garrity, and we are founders and pastors of Lehigh Valley Worship Center and founders of River of Heaven Ministries, which is a conduit to bring awakening, refreshing, revival, new life in Christ to communities, to regions, to states, to the nation, and even the nations. We believe that God wants not just one local area church, but we believe that God is calling the body of Christ globally to work together in order to be a force to be reckoned with, advancing the kingdom of God on earth as it is in heaven. Everyone counts. Your prayer matters. Your worship and praise matters. You matter. And in order to stand against the evil, the Antichrist systems that we're seeing try to be pushed upon this world right now, we need everyone to stand their watch. We need everyone to do their part in the body. You matter. If you do not know Jesus as your personal Savior, if you do not know the Lord Jesus, God loves you, and God paid a price for you to live and not to die. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, Jesus, that whosoever would believe in him would not perish, but receive everlasting life." So if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, let today be the day where you say, "Enough of this. I can't stand the ruin and the horrible situation I've got going on in my life. There's got to be more to life than this." And respond to the goodness of God, which has been leading you to repentance all along. You should have got worse than you're currently experiencing right now. Life might be bad, but it could have been a whole lot worse. Maybe you feel like, I just really sense this, that you shouldn't even be here right now. You should be dead. Well, that's because the goodness of God has led you to repentance. You're hearing this broadcast for a reason, and God loves you, and he's calling you to come to him. And so we've been talking about last week and the broadcast, actually a few broadcasts before that as well, this concept of this gem of the upper room. We believe that we're in a time of rediscovery of really what the Bible says. Many people look at Acts chapter 1 and 2 as kind of like this revelation of the upper room, of the concept of the upper room, where Jesus told his followers to go to an upper room, and while they were in that upper room, the Spirit of God, Holy Spirit, would come down and would fill the house and would baptize them, speaking in tongues, following, and everything like that. But really, we've been talking about the last few episodes, last few broadcasts, how this is not really the first time the upper room was mentioned. And then I believe last broadcast we talked about you need to rediscover the prayer of the upper room. And that's found in Daniel chapter 6, where Daniel was a righteous man of God. He was a prophet of the Lord, you know, during the time of Babylonian captivity, as well as part of the captivity of the Medes and Persians of the people of God. And as they're in captivity, there was still favor that came because of Daniel's obedience to the Lord. And Daniel was a man of excellence. He was a man of an excellent spirit. And because he was a man of an excellent spirit, he was not wavering in his life regarding the things of God. And then in Daniel chapter 6, we find that there's the governors and the satraps and the administrators, everyone who was ruling under Darius, king of the Medes and Persians at that time, conspired against Daniel to take him out because they knew he was different. They didn't like the fact that he was a man of faith, and they conspired to destroy him. And he basically puts out an edict that says, anyone who calls upon their God, or anyone calls upon anyone except for me, the king, for counsel and for wisdom, is surely to be put to death. Specifically, the death of being thrown in a den of hungry lions. But yet, in the face of opposition, in the face of death itself, Daniel was unwavering, he was unshaken, and it said three times a day he went up to where? The upper room where he was, and he opened the window was open, and he prayed toward Jerusalem. And so that really sums up the idea, the understanding of the rediscovery of the prayer of the upper room, okay? But today, what I want to talk to us about, what I really want to key in on, is this understanding of what I call the mystery of the upper room. And that's found in 2 Kings chapter 4. And specifically, it's found in 2 Kings chapter 4, verse 10. But we'll start at verse 8. It says, now it happened one day that Elisha went to Shunem. So this is Elisha, the understudy of the prophet Elijah. He was the protege. He was the servant of Elijah. And it says about Elisha that he washed the hands of Elijah, the prophet. And we also understand then that when Elijah goes to be with the Lord, that the mantle of Elijah drops and Elisha picks it up and he begins to function just as Elijah did, but actually with a double portion of his spirit, because that's what he asked for. And so we find in 2 Kings chapter 4, starting in verse 8, Elisha, it says that now it happened one day that Elisha went to Shunem, where there was a notable woman, and she persuaded him to eat some food. So it was as often as he passed by, he would turn in there to eat some food. And she said to her husband, look now, I know that this is a holy man of God who passes by us regularly. Now watch the heart of these people. This is just a holy man of God. Verse 10, please let us make a small room on the wall and let us put a bed there for him and a table and a chair and a lampstand. So it will be whenever he comes to us, he can turn in there. Verse 11, and it happened one day that he came there and turned into what? The upper room and lay down there. Verse 12, then he said to Gehazi his servant, call this Shunammite woman. And when he had called her, she stood before him. Say now to her, look, you have been concerned for us with all this care. What then can I do for you? Do you want me to speak on your behalf to the king or to the commander of the army? And she answered, I dwell among my own people. So he said, what then is it to be done for her? And Gehazi answered, actually, she has no son and her husband is old. So he said, call her. And when he had called her, she stood in the doorway. And then he said, about this time next year, you shall embrace a son. And she said, no, my lord, man of God, do not lie to your maidservant. But the woman conceived and bore a son when the appointed time had come. of which Elisha had told her. And so we examine here in 2 Kings chapter 4, specifically verse 10, that this woman and her husband say something very interesting. They say, please let us make a small upper room on the wall and let us put a bed for him there and a table and a chair and a lampstand. And so we see that there's a room made for the man of God, and there's certain things in the room. There's a certain location of the upper room where it's situated, and this all has very significant meaning. And so let's look at each article, if you will, even a position of where this room is, and let's see what Holy Spirit will show us about this. So it says in verse 10, please let us. Whenever we hear the word us, I think the first thing I think of is really the first time I believe this is mentioned, when God said about mankind, let us, and he was talking about the Trinity, Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, let us make man in our own image, in our likeness, okay? So she says to her husband here in 2 Kings chapter 4, now let us make a small upper room. One of the things about the mystery, one of the concepts of the upper room is unity. We must understand if we're going to flow in the anointing of the upper room, if we're going to flow in the anointing of Pentecost, or what have you, whatever you want to call it, we're going to flow in that anointing. We first need to have unity. They say, let us make a small upper room on the wall. Let us, unity, make a small upper room. Small always signifies humility. Remember, David was the smallest of all his brothers. And, you know, the prophet Samuel passed by all these strapping young men of the sons of Jesse. And he could have even been deceived if the Lord had not been speaking to him about the smallest of all of them. And that was David. And David was a young man. And you remember he's facing this giant named Goliath. But again, it was the small, the humility, and trust in the Lord. Because if you're humble, your trust is in the Lord. If you think you're big and you think you're bad and you're full of pride, you're not going to need one or ask for God's help because you're your own person. You're good. I'm good to go. And people find out how sadly they're mistaken. Because the Bible says that pride comes before destruction. And there's a great fall that occurs. And so the mystery of the upper room begins with this. We need to understand there's certain concepts that if we're going to walk in that anointing, we need to have as part of our life. And we talked about let us, unity, make us small, humility, upper room. Where? On the wall. Somebody say on the wall. What in the world does that have to do anything? Anytime the wall is spoken about in Scripture, it speaks of a wall, fortification, things of this nature. The concept of the watchman on the wall comes to my mind. And also not only watchman on the wall, but building a wall in prayer, building a wall in intercession, building a wall. Look what it says here. It says in Ezekiel chapter 22, verse 30, so I sought for a man among them who would make a wall and stand in the gap before me on behalf of the land that I should not destroy it, but I found no one. So God is saying here that you've not gone and did what you're supposed to do. I called you to be ones that would stand watch. I called you to be ones that would build a wall in prayer and stand in the gap, which speaks of intercession. Before me on behalf of the land that what? I should not destroy it. But God said, I found no one. Look what it says here in Isaiah chapter 62, verses 6 and 7. I have set watchmen on your walls, O Jerusalem. They shall never hold their peace day or night. You who make mention of the Lord, do not what? Keep silent and give him no rest until he establishes, until he makes Jerusalem a praise in the earth. And this all speaks of on the wall. This speaks of what it means to be on the wall. This room in 2 Kings chapter 4, verse 10, is situated specifically where? On the wall. And so, again, another facet of this mystery of the upper room is that we got to be on the wall. We got to be in prayer. We got to be sounding the trumpet. We got to be crying aloud and sparing not regarding the things of righteousness. All these things speak of on the wall. And then it goes on. It says, please let us make a small upper room on the wall and let us put what? A bed for him there. Well, what in the world does a bed have to do? That's where people sleep, absolutely. But a bed always speaks of intimacy because there's intimacy that goes on in the bedroom. But this is symbolically talking about intimacy with the Lord. We must have intimacy with the Lord if we're going to walk in that, what I like to call upper room anointing. People want to change the world, but we need that upper room anointing, that anointing, that touch from God, that outpouring, if you will, to cultivate that. We need to have intimacy with the Lord. Matthew 5:33 says, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Are you hungry and thirsting for more of the Lord, for more of his righteousness, more of his justice, more of him? If you are, the promise is this, you shall be filled. Jesus said in Matthew 22:37, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. And really other translations say in all your strength. Everything we have within us, we should love the Lord with. And the bed symbolizes this. Amen? So what was another piece that was in that room? Let us make a small upper room on the wall and let us put a bed for him there and a table. Table signifies this. It's a prophetic type of hungering and thirsting, and then not only that, but eating and drinking. We just talked about the scripture about hungering and thirsting for righteousness in Matthew chapter 5, verse 33. But it's not just hungering and thirsting, but a table symbolizes actually communing, eating and drinking together. It's likened to the intimacy with the Lord, but it's a little different. Acts 2:42, it says that they continued steadfastly, the church did, in the apostles' doctrine, in fellowship, in the breaking of bread, and in prayer. Amen? And the table speaks of covenant, just like the bed speaks of covenant. They're really intertwined, but it goes beyond just a hungering and thirsting. It's more, even more than that. It's a communing. I spend time with the Lord daily, and I eat. I eat what the Lord gives me to eat. I eat his word. Amen. The Bible says that man does not live on bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Hallelujah. And so what else was in that room that they made for the prophet? 2 Kings 4:10. Let's read it again. Please let us make a small upper room on the wall, and let's put a bed for him there, and a table, and a chair. Well, what significance does a chair have? Obviously, it's something to sit in, but a chair prophetically speaks of waiting and resting in the Lord, and it also speaks of regarding being seated in authority, or an understanding of your seat of authority. Amen? And so we know that we are seated in the heavenly places with Christ. That actually his word says, as surely as, you know, if you're sitting down right now, you're actually seated in heavenly places with him because you're royalty in his kingdom. We are joint heirs with Jesus Christ. Amen. But let's look at this understanding of a chair regarding waiting and resting in the Lord. Isaiah 40:31 says, but those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and shall not faint. Hallelujah. We need to learn to rest in the Lord. That rest word is not a laziness. It's not being lethargic. But instead, it's resting and waiting on the Lord for the perfect time. Earlier this year, at our church, we taught a sermon series called Soaring and Roaring. And we taught about the eagle, how the eagle, to conserve strength and conserve energy and to be able to function at the high level that creature does, it actually uses wisdom and waits and rests until it catches what's called a thermal. It's a specific type of wind gust. And as the eagle senses that the presence of that specific wind gust, it actually will catch those thermals and will ride up above even sometimes storms, dreadful storms, where other birds are flying the other direction. The eagle is catching these warm thermal winds and soaring above the storm. And as we understand this mystery of the upper room, and we understand that we need to wait and rest in the Lord, we understand that by waiting and resting in the Lord, we actually understand that we should have a vantage point of being above our circumstances and situations. We should actually have that same vantage point of being seated with the Lord in heavenly places. Because from God's perspective, problems never look big. Things never look insurmountable. But with the Lord, He's giving us His perspective when what? We wait and rest in the Lord. Hallelujah. When we rest in Him. When we wait upon the Lord. Hallelujah. And so what was that last piece of equipment? That last piece of furniture, if you will, in that upper room? 2 Kings 4:10, let's read it again. Please let us, unity, make a small, humility, upper room on the wall, prayerfulness and watching, like a watchman. And let us put a bed, intimacy for Him there, and a table, communion, eating and drinking with the Lord, and a chair, resting and waiting upon the Lord, and understanding authority, the authority of the believer, and what? A lampstand. So it will be whenever He comes to us, He can turn in there. So what the significance does a lampstand have? A lampstand, as a prophetic type, symbolizes, I believe, the fear of the Lord and also a mindfulness of the second coming of Christ. The New Testament book of Revelation refers to 7 golden lampstands representing the 7 churches of Asia to which the revelation was sent. Ephesus, Smyrna, Pergamon, Thyatira, Sardis, Philadelphia, and Laodicea, with one like a son of man in their midst. Revelation chapter 1 verses 12 through 20 says this: Then I, John, turned to see the voice of them that spoke with me. And having turned, I saw 7 golden lampstands, and in the midst of the 7 lampstands, one like the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the feet, and girded about his chest with a golden band. His head and hair were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes like a flame of fire. His feet were like fine brass, as if refined in a furnace, and his voice as the sound of many waters. He had in his right hand 7 stars. Out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was like the sun shining in its strength. Verse 17, And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead, but he laid his right hand on me, saying to me, Do not be afraid. I am the first and the last. I am he who lives and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And I have the keys of Hades and of death. Write the things which you have seen, and the things which are, and the things which will take place after this. The mystery of the 7 stars which you saw in my right hand, and the 7 golden lampstands. The 7 stars are the angels or the messengers of the 7 churches, and the 7 lampstands which you saw are the 7 churches. Okay. But watch what God says to specifically the church at Ephesus regarding the lampstand. They are a lampstand symbolically in the book of Revelation. But watch what his warning was to the loveless church, the church of the Ephesians. Revelation chapter 2 verses 1 through 7. To the angel of the church of Ephesus write, or to the messenger of the church of Ephesus write, These things says he who holds the 7 stars in his right hand, who walks in the midst of the 7 golden what? Lampstands, I know your works, your labor, your patience, and that you cannot bear those who are evil. And you have tested those who say they are apostles and are not, and have found them liars, and you have persevered and have patience, and have labored for my name's sake, and not become weary. Basically, you did all these things great. Verse 4, Nevertheless, I have this against you, that you what? Have left your first love. Remember, therefore, from where you have fallen, and repent. and do the first works, or else I will come to you and quickly remove your what? Your lampstand from its place, unless what? You repent. But this you have, that you hate the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches, or says to the churches. And so the lampstand again speaks of the fear of the Lord. The lampstand again speaks of the second coming of Christ. It speaks of that we need to understand that it's God's church. It's his lampstand. And he can do whatever he wants with it. And we don't want him to come and take the lampstand. So we need to understand that we need to be full of repentance, full of the understanding of the fear of the Lord, walking, be holy as he is holy. And so if we truly want to walk in that upper room anointing, what I call the mystery of the upper room, we must have an understanding of this concept. There must be let us, there must be a unity. Make us small, there must be humility. Upper room on the wall, there must be prayer and a watchman nature, intercession. And let us put a bed, intimacy, worship, loving the Lord with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And a table, fellowship, communion with God, eating and drinking, eating the word of God, drinking of the Spirit, and a chair. Understanding that we need to rest and wait upon the Lord, and then we can mount up in wings like eagles, and then we truly understand that we can soar above the storm from the vantage point of Christ, where he says that you are seated with me in heavenly places. Hallelujah. And finally, a lampstand, which speaks of the fear of the Lord. It speaks of always being mindful of the second coming of Christ. Understanding that we're to have an awe of him. We're actually to have a holy terror. For even the Apostle Paul said that we persuade men to receive the Spirit of God, to receive Christ, because, first and foremost, even before he says the love of God, we persuade men because of the terror of the Lord. Because in other words, you know, you don't really have to fear Satan, but you need to fear the one that can destroy your soul in what's called the second death. And this is a very unpopular subject these days to preach, but listen, we need to understand above all that God is the only one who has the power to completely create or completely destroy. And many would fear the weather and animals and all these different things that are nature, but what about the one who created it? We should have an unbelievable awe and reverence for the Lord Almighty. And that also needs to be understood if we're going to walk in that upper room anointing. Many would say these days, oh, we need the fire of Pentecost again. And I say to you today that I think what we need is to rediscover Pentecost. We need to rediscover the elements. We need to rediscover what was actually going on in that upper room where it said they were in one accord, in one mind. Let me tell you something, beloved. They were in unity. Let us. They were in humility. They're on the wall. They were in prayer. It said they were in one accord. They're praying together in Acts chapter 2. And then there was intimacy. They were loving the Lord. They were worshiping. They were pouring themselves out to him. At a table, they were waiting on him. The Lord said to wait until the promise comes from the Father. They weren't impatient, but they were waiting. And a chair, which speaks of the authority that was to come. And a lampstand. They had the fear of the Lord. And so if we're going to ask the Lord, Lord, make your habitation here. Make your dwelling place here. Lord, we need a fresh outpouring. Pour out here, Lord. Make this your place to dwell. We need to understand unity. We need to be people who are unified in the things of God. We need to be humble. We need to be men and women of God of prayer and intercession. We need to be men and women of God of worship, of pouring, of lavishing our love out on the Lord, loving him with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. We need to be a people of God that understand communion, eating the Word of God daily, feasting at His table, drinking of the Spirit. We need to be a men and women of God that understand the weight and rest in the Lord so that we might understand truly our authority with Christ in heavenly places as joint heirs with Him. And we must understand last, but I believe last is really first with this, the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, the Bible says. We need to understand that the Lord is coming again for a spotless bride, and He will have a spotless bride through all the purgings and all the prunings. He is purifying for Himself a spotless bride. And so God bless you. Thank you for tuning in today. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May His face shine upon you. May He be gracious unto you, and may He give you His peace. May you understand more than ever before that we must walk in the revelation of the mystery of the upper room, especially in these last days where we got pestilence, we've got various natural disasters, all these things that the Lord told us would be present in these last days. But yet, during these times, beloved, I pray that you would arise and shine, as it says in Isaiah chapter 60. For your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. God bless you, and we'll see you very soon. And thank you again for listening to another episode of Gems for the Journey. Until next time, God bless you. Goodbye.
Sing holy, sing holy, sing holy.
Produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.
This is Minister Brenda Litsolenyane, Inspirational Talk on United Kingdom Radio Network USA World, produced by Kayla Padgett.
Good day, saints. Hope you are well. The Lord is good. The Lord is faithful. The Lord is good. His mercy endures forever. The Lord is great. His power is greater than any power. Praise you, Jesus. Yeah, I just had that flowing in my spirit. His mercy endures forever. Thank you, Jesus. The Lord is good. His grace abounds to me. Thank you, Jesus. So this is the day that the Lord has made. We'll rejoice and be glad in it. Praise you, Jesus. I greet you all in the powerful name of my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I hope you are blessed. You are blessed going in, you are blessed coming out. Praise you, Jesus. You are blessed regardless, thank you, Jesus, of any situation. The Lord is still good. The Lord is still your Father. The Lord is still your King. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I want us just to constantly ignite ourselves with the power of God, ignite ourselves with a dose of positivity, ignite ourselves with health, ignite ourselves, you know, with a language that speaks healing, a language that speaks power. If you can just do that, we'll understand. Hore, akekho umuntu ofana noNkulunkulu. Unkulunkulu ophilayo, unkulunkulu namandla. You know, this morning as I was just trying to switch on the kettle and I looked at the plug and I put my hand there and I realized that we are constantly you know, in need of this plug. We are constantly in need of the connection of God. You cannot say, today I don't feel like. We can do that with our dietary requirements, but in terms of spiritual dietary requirements, it's a must-have. Praise Jesus. You need to connect whether you feel like or you don't feel like it, because you don't know what is ahead of you. You don't know the challenges that have been laid against you. You don't know what is going to happen. And as you do that, you know, as you plug in, you realize that certain things that happened during the day, they were not necessary. They were not bound to happen, especially when we find ourselves in unfavorable, you know, situations. It is because we didn't plug in. Every time you plug in, you know, the word says in the book of Psalm, David says, your word is the lamp unto my feet and the light unto my path. Thank you, Jesus. I think it's Psalm 119. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. So when you plug in that power every morning, that power will definitely lead your journey. You'll begin to see what is happening, you know, ahead of you. You'll begin to see what is happening around you. Why would David say in the book of Psalm 91, 1,000 may fall on the side, 10,000 on the other side, but none of them will touch me. It only with my eyes will I behold the reward of the wicked. Why is David saying that? This is a person who's consciously aware of the plots of the enemy. This is someone who's consciously aware of the power of God, to say, when I plug in the power of God, any power that comes from the satanic, you know, environment is bound to what? To be consumed. Remember, is a dunamis power. Praise you, Jesus. So I want to encourage you today, Uguti, whatever situation you begane nayo, whether it's a non-material material, it's a spiritual or whatever, or non-spiritual matter, every matter before the face of the earth can be sorted, you know, it can be sorted, because he is the consuming fire. Praise you, Jesus. His anointing breaks every yoke. So we are saying this because the Lord has said it. Praise you, Jesus. The song also says it. It reaches, you know, the blood of Jesus reaches to the highest mountain, you know. It goes to the lowest valley. It goes to the lowest valley. That's the blood of Jesus. That's why it says, oh, the blood that gives me strength from day to day, it will never lose its power. Because it reaches, join me, for it reaches to the highest mountain, and it flows to the lowest valley. Oh, the blood, wonderful blood that gives me strength from day to day. It will never lose its power. So ngegazi likaJesu siyaphiliswa, ngegazi likaJesu siba namandla, ngegazi likaJesu siyaqondiswa. Praise you, Jesus. At the sound of the name Jesus, every knee bows down and every tongue confesses. I want you to learn the art of using the word of God. I want you to learn the art of plugging into the power of God and understand that ngeke ukwazi ukunqoba any situation in your life unless unqoba ngoJesu. Praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. There is a song, 18. Simbona ngothando lwakhe. Simbona ngothando lwakhe. So, sibona unkulunkulu ngezenzo. Praise you, Jesus. Hence, the song says, we serve a miracle working God. We serve a miracle working God. We serve a miracle working God. I want you to constantly affirm yourself. The Lord is good. The Lord is good. I'm blessed. I'm blessed. I'm blessed. I'm highly favored. I'm highly highly favored. I'm sanctified. I'm set apart. I'm a royal diadem. I'm strong. I'm wise. Ooh, I'm blessed. Thank you, Jesus. You begin to speak those words. I'm saying, when things want you to go mad, when you say, I'm saying, hallelujah, praise Jesus, you're actually saying, I've got a sound mind, praise Jesus. The word says, I didn't give you a spirit of fear. So you say, I've got faith. There is a song that I love again that says, I've got the joy of God in me. I've got His joy, His love, and His unity, something like that. I've got the joy of God in me. So you speak this word, you speak this word. All these songs were based on the word. You speak till you feel, amen. Ngathi, I was worshipping alone. Yes, you are not worshipping alone. You're worshipping with the angelic host. Praise you, Jesus. God says in the book of Isaiah, when you pray, I move like a mighty man of war. Praise you, Jesus. I'll move out and penetrate the camps of the enemy on our behalf. That's the context. Praise you, Jesus. So we are looking for people that will say, I've got the joy of God in me. Praise you, Jesus. I've got the joy of God in me. I've got his joy, his love, and his ability. I've got his joy of God in me. Praise you, Jesus. Yes, I've got the joy of God, His love of God, His ability. So in His presence, you have an ability to perform. You've got an ability to deal with challenges. You've got an ability to be smart and repent. You've got an ability to ask for forgiveness. You've got an ability to ask for salvation. You've got an ability, to ask for these things that are freely given. That is why the word says, hallelujah, praise you, Jesus. Call unto me and I will answer you. I've got more than enough. In my father's house, there are many rooms. Praise you, Jesus. You'll get a room of faith. You'll get a room of joy, room of everything that you desire. Praise you, Jesus. Whatever you need, you must understand that you don't just get a cup of love. You don't just get a cup of love in the morning, but you're going to be trained. You're going to be trained to know what does it feel like when Jesus say, I'm sacrificing this, my life for them. Praise you, Jesus. You'll experience it. Ngokuthi you will love ungathandeki. Praise you, Jesus. Uzozithola uthanda abantu kungamelanga nokuthi umhlaba uthi ubathande. Kujustified ukuthi ungasabathandi, but uzobathanda. Praise you, Jesus. That's when you have gone the training, the module. Love. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. So there are other modules that you need to experience. The module of forgiveness. The module of forgiveness. Rabba Sata Rabba Rabba Shienda. Praise you, Jesus. The module of forgiveness. I declare and I decree that the poison in your heart shall melt when you begin to forgive. When you begin to forgive. In the name of Jesus, there is power in forgiveness. And right now, I'm challenging you. There can never be just a cup that you drink now and tomorrow you are just exactly what you asked for. Praise you, Jesus. There is a cup of patience. Patience. God doesn't want us to be hasty, but He doesn't want to be impressed by what we are saying when we pray. He's not moved by what we are saying when we pray, but God is moved by what? By works. So that is why ekugcineni kwenzakalane undlule kusimo uzokwazi ukuthi patience yini. Praise you, Jesus. And to those who say the Lord is a provider, kumele undlule kusimo uzombona uNkulunkulu akwenzela. Praise you, Jesus. I want to give God the praise because I've seen the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. I cannot preach the word and not challenge God to start with me. So every time I share on this platform, I read the word more than 5 times just for me to hear God, you know, better than the first time. Praise you, Jesus. I hear what He's saying so that ngikwazi ukuphila lento le. So ngifuna ukunibonga, children of God, ukuthi you are the reason for my from my growth and my yearning to grow. Praise Jesus. And may the good Lord not fail you. Now, elapho khona, read, listen to the word, ask God questions regarding what the word has said. And then when you do that, the Lord will reveal more. God will reveal more. Maybe I was just a tip in an iceberg. Maybe I was just scratching the surface for you. But there is so much wealth that we can learn from God. So you better reach out to God. You better say, Lord, I thank you so much for the word. And I'm going to pluck myself so that I'm able to hear what you say. May the good Lord bless you. I love you so much and I appreciate you. Stay blessed. Amen. Good day, saints. Hope you are well. The Lord is good. He is great. He's gracious. Thank you, Jesus. Who can be compared to this God? Hallelujah. Father, we thank you for this moment. We thank you for the day. We thank you for our future, Lord. We thank you for our past that reminds us that we need those scars. We need those wounds, oh God, to constantly be in check with you in Jesus' name. We thank you that singaya kuphi masingena wena baba ngegama lika Jesu. Father, we thank you for the book of Psalm 1 that says, blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the ungodly, nor sit in the seat of the mockers. The other part of the scripture says, he is like a tree planted by the streams of waters. Thank you, Jesus. As we are planted by the streams of waters, sihlele kuwe. Akekho omunye umuntu osingahlala kuye. Praise Jesus. Thembe wena. Hallelujah. You are our rock. Hallelujah. Lesotho sere olifika laka Jehovah. Praise Jesus. Olifika laka. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. So I want you not to be shaken. Be like that tree planted by the streams of the waters, whose leaves do not wither. Praise you, Jesus. So you are evergreen. Evergreen means you are standing in the promises of God. You are not changing, you know, God's, because you believe yours is not adequate enough. I want to challenge you today. Hlala kuye nje. Don't enable God with anything. Hlala kuye. Praise you, Jesus. When you feel like I can't take it anymore, you know what? Take Holy Communion. Strengthen yourself. Hlala kuye. Ungahlali ezintweni. Ungahlali ebantwini. Ngoba heaven and earth shall pass away, but the word of God will stand forever. So when the word of God stands forever, so we are a replica of God when our leaves do not wither. Masihlele manzini. Isihlahla sihlele manzini. Steadfast, steadfast, hallelujah. With feet like that of a hind, with a horn like that of a unicorn, smile. Praise Jesus. Simemeza ubukhulu bakhe. Praise Jesus. So I want to encourage you today. Ukuthi there can never be any other God. Akekho omunye. Praise Jesus. So lintsi liyabua lire. When you call unto me, I will answer you. Watch mdim kitla araba. Kosa mnanti wan ore. When they call unto me, I will answer them. Oh Jesus. And the word continues to say, I will honor them. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. And I'll show them my salvation. So God will save you. No human being will save you. God will save you. Remember, God works with connections. He's the connector. He's the powerful network service. Remember, I spoke of the 3 G's. I'm so excited. You know, I wanted to say to you, previously, our network is 3G, and one of our listeners on this platform said, yes, we live by 3G. I was so excited. Praise you, Jesus. So that's the greatest network service. You'll never hear it, but it has lost its network. Tlakublele, how will God connect you? Maubani, God says, lift up your eyes and look about you and assemble and come to you. Your sons come from afar, and your daughters are carried on the arm. Then you will look and be radiant. Your heart will throb and soar with joy. The wealth of the seas will be brought to you. To you, the riches of the nations will come. Wa utlagene, wena kere o sentse no o tataze. O lebeletse di worldly connections. Na kere ke ye network operating service. E bitswang heaven, the 3 G's. It never stops functioning. Praise you, Jesus. The Lord is saying, when I bring these daughters and sons to you, you will look radiant. You'll be radiant and your heart will throb and soar with joy. Another portion of scripture in the book of Psalm 80, those who look unto the Lord, their faces are radiant. Praise you, Jesus. So I never, people are expecting ukuthi ubuso bakho buyehle, ube down, wenza akuthi bayazi isimo sakho, kanti hayi wena wazi ukuthi khona another department that is hidden before the eyes of men. Kuleyo department uyasevisa. Praise you, Jesus. Then he says, your heart will throb and swell with joy. Utlafela kiti, 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 kiti. You know, ikiti, kiti. Inhliziyo yakho iyashaya, but ishayiswa yini? Ishayisa ijoy kaNkulunkulu. Inhliziyo yakho lokhu ishaya kabuhlungu, ishaya kabuhlungu. Ishaye ngathi yama, ishaye kabuhlungu ngathi yama. It's pain, you know, it's despair, it's anxiety. But God says, I'm allowing your blood vessels as I give you the DNA yam through the blood of Jesus. Manje kwenzani? Kususwa le yakho, kuhlungena le kaNkulunkulu. UJesu wenzani? Begins to operate in your veins, then joy becomes a portion of your life. Praise you, Jesus. Oh, the world on the seas, ziyeza, ziyeza kuwe. They will be brought to you. You will be to you. The riches of the nations will come. Bona, ke di connections, diatla. Sampotsa gore jwang. Go and ask God gore jwang. All heads of camels will cover your land. Young camels of Midian and Ephah, and all from Sheba will come bearing gold and incense, and proclaiming the praise of the Lord. Welcome us in the heads of camel. Pray that those camels locate your address. Pray that those camels locate your address. Hey, bakhumba mudimu, ngithekini zithakatheni ngeswi. Declare ngoba kuyakhulunywa kuwe, ukhomba ngemino, imino ye darkness. Kuyakhuluma ngemilimi, utterances against you. You know, they are working even around your yard wena. Hey. But uNkulunkulu athi, I'm looking for people that will declare what I'm saying today. And heads of camel are coming unto their addresses. Thank you, Jesus. Go verse 7, all Kedar's flock will be gathered to you. The rams of Nebaoth will serve you. They will be accepted as offerings on my altar, and I will adorn my glorious temple. So Mudimu Arbona, mauba right when, amen, man, just read the scriptures, amen. You know what, I'm excited. Uthi mauba right, phela wena nganyami, mauba right, ndodakazi, mauba right, ndodana. This is what will happen. These things, those letter gim, they'll be accepted as offerings on my altar, and I will adorn my glorious temple. Ngizojabula kakhulu mase ngibona wena uwendlekile, wondlekile, sojabulile. Hey, I'm a batho mdimu is a restorer. Bagaitso, that mdimu is a restorer. Ke tla oblella he, I also believe in theko jotsang yona. Ke ya mo, uri who are these that fly along like clouds, like doves to their nest? Surely the islands look to me, in the lead are the ships of Tarshish. Oh, bona fela, bona, the islands are carrying these ships. These ships, yes. They are coming to you, bringing your sons from afar with their silver and gold to the honor of the Lord, your God, the Holy One of Israel, for he has endowed you with splendor. Mamela, there's been a lot of injustice done to you. I'm allowing, you know, the doves. doves, hallelujah. And I'm allowing the ships to sail in the islands. The doves are in their nest, but the ships are sailing in the Tarshish. Praise you, Jesus. They are bringing your sons from afar. Baleta ini isiliva negolide bazoza abantu. Pray that your sons come. Pray. Hallelujah. Ere, the Holy One of Israel, for he has endowed you. Akere, then you will honor the Lord. So asikwazi kum honor, asikwazi kum praise, asikwazi ukukhuluma ngaye because he slambile. Uyangizwa ukuthi ngithini? Mawulambile, umuntu makathi uNkulunkulu uyaphila, uthi hey, kodwa. Kodwa he ngicela ukuthi ungenzi kanjalo. Ngithi uNkulunkulu uya restore, uya akha. Ku verse 10 uthi foreigners will rebuild your walls, and the kings will serve you. Though in anger I struck you, in favor I will show you compassion. So foreigners born, bazoza, and rebuild your walls. People will come and rebuild your business. They'll rebuild your ministry. They'll rebuild your vision. Khona lento le akumelanga ushone la emhlabeni ungafezakanga. Something needs to come out. That's your wealth. Or your gates will always stand open. They will never be shut day or night, so that men may bring you the wealth of the nations, the kings led in triumphant procession. For the nation or kingdoms that will not serve you will perish. It will utterly rain. You know what I like about this, man? When it says your gates will stand open. You know, they will never be shut. When I pray, I always use this scripture that says, your gates, I think it's in the book of Isaiah, your gates shall be called praise and your walls salvation. So I always say, walls, salvation, vimba, 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 vimba. You are my ADT, you are my chap, you are my security system. And I say, praise, 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 praise. Ngicela ukuthi abantu abazongena la, bazongena kulo musi, baletha only what the Lord has mandated them. Abantu abangamelanga bangene, bangangeni. You understand ukuthi ngithini? Mele wazi ukuzithakatha man. Abantu baletha into zakho. Into zakho zatshontshwa. They were stolen. That's why in the book of Joel, God says, I will restore that which the cankerworm, the caterpillars, the great locust, whereby man has eaten. So God is bringing them back in greater quality, quantity, justice, high magnitude. Praise Jesus. God is doing that in your life. Now I can feel it. I can feel it. Yes, it's overwhelming me. It's overwhelming me. But ngeke was we feel. If I was good, lalela dose 3 times a day. Oh, I'm blessed. I'm blessed. I'm blessed. I'm highly favored. We are kuluma nje. When someone blessed me yesterday, she said, Mina, after this message, I developed this language. I said, I'm strong, I'm strong, I'm strong. I'm wise, I'm wise, I'm wise. Praise you, Jesus. Sqela mo, sqela mo, sqela mo, ukuthi nathi sikwazi ukuphila. Hallelujah. I'm highly favored. Praise you, Jesus. I'm a daughter. I'm a son of the Most High God. Whatever is happening, think darkness is covering the earth. But me, na, unkulunkulu uthi, his glory rises above me. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. So, ngicela ukuthi nibe blessed. Ngiyamthanda. Ngiyamthanda. May the good Lord do you good. Ooh, may he expand you. May he elevate you. May he do you great things that you have never seen. Things that you never knew of. May they happen in greater speed and acceleration. I declare and I decree that you not sleep, but you'll arise. Arise and you will shine. In Jesus' name, amen.
This was Inspirational Talk by Minister Brenda Letsholenyane, produced by Kayla Paget on United Kingdom Radio Network, USA World.
Produced by Kayla Paget on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA. 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers. 1-888-201-5313. Produced by Kayla Paget on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.
Good day, everyone. You're listening to United Kingdom Radio Network, USA World. My name is Chief Ambassador Chi, all the way from Johannesburg, South Africa. And welcome to this broadcast today.
Believers in Christ, we are grateful for this time again to share the word with you. Regardless of this global pandemic, the Lord is good. His goodness does not depend on any circumstances or any merit from ourselves or lack thereof. God remains faithful and good always. And we, are beneficiaries of the Lord's goodness. Let us never forget that the Lord is good all the time, and all the time He is good. And in the process, let us pray for one another. Let us never neglect the teachings in the Word of Scripture, for they are life. The Bible was not written for good times. It was written for all seasons. Just like your vehicle is not just available, which is your motor vehicle. It's not just available for sunny days. It's also available for rainy days. Or else, I mean, if it is not useful the time you need it the most, through raining weather or evening, it's completely useless. It's the very same way the Word of God is in all seasons. If it only works for you through good times or happy times, then you have rendered yourself useless, not the Word. That means there's something wrong with your connection with the Word of God. So let us never neglect the Word. And let us pray for one another and with each other. In Jesus' name, amen. Excuse me. Talking about faith in God. Do I believe that Christ still heals? Most definitely. I surely do. It's just I don't believe it in the way these clowns that entertain goats do it, which is rehearsed and all just a lie. I won't mention any names. Just like this clown who they played or rehearsed a role of raising a dead person in a coffin, but then the person died later on and the same miracle could not repeat itself, huh? If this thing was really true or was the power of God, why did this individual die again? May believe to die again. Was even dead in the first place. My point is, I don't believe in the way these clowns portray it. But I do believe in miracles. As you know, I am part of that miracle. I've seen God do many things in my life. Besides that He did for my folks. I remember many years ago, I think it's five years ago, there was load shedding. What a shocker. So we used the connection with our generator to power the house. But now, my younger brother changed the position of the generator, for it has an exhaust pipe in which it blows all these fumes out. So in changing the direction of the or the position of the generator, unawarely this exhaust pipe was directly facing charcoal. So now you know, I mean, that's the thing itself is just danger. So indeed, it's load shedding. Normal South Africa we know of, load shedding. And we hook up our connection with the generator to power the house. And so we have power. But now, there was something that took place. the lights were constantly going on and off. So you could tell that there was interference with the connection. As I rushed outside, indeed, the interference was great. The generator was on fire. Because the exhaust pipe from the generator ignited these charcoals, and in the process, where it was placed, it was under a thatch roof, which was connected to the house. So the generator was on fire. So in the process, the connection was, you know how it is. Just a mess. So I rushed back into the house because of panic. Instead of thinking fast on my feet to extinguish it, and I report this matter, but then now it got worse. This fire started to ignite the thatch roof, which is connected to the house. And now, it was a complicated way, process to switch on the generator, because the key of the generator, just for safety, was attached to the house keys, one of the house keys, the main house keys. So that wouldn't lose the key of the generator. So there was fire, and man, it was so bad that our neighbors from the back opposite had to help us out, or they yelled out or asking out of concern what's going on, and we just were to, we just reported that yes, the thatch roof was on fire because of the generator. The weather was so bad, it almost took our whole neighborhood to extinguish this fire. And as usual, firefighters come late after the scene. I'm not saying any bad words about them, but I was not impressed with the service for that evening. So finally, the fire gets extinguished. But the generator is like messed up, it's burnt out. We throw some pieces of thatch into the swimming pool, because so that they mustn't ignite fire. The smoke must just die out, and some of them that are on fire, just to, be extinguished. But now, here's the thing. We had no electricity. which was better than losing our house. But now in the process, we thought to ourselves, where's the house key? We couldn't find the house key anywhere. But guess what? We found the house key in the kitchen. And the house key, the last time we saw the house key, was attached to the generator. Tell me if that's not a miracle. Second of all, in that same evening, okay, firefighters came and they did what they did and whatever. were able to generate electricity in the house. Even after this whole, mess and load shedding. Or mess due to the load shedding and the carelessness of the charcoal near the generator. What are the two miracles I am pointing out here? The key, the house key, the main house key. I don't know how it came about for the house key to be in the kitchen instead of attached to the generator. And second of all, the house did not burn down, along with the electricity. So yes, do I believe in miracles? Most definitely I do. I surely do believe in miracles. And I believe that through this global pandemic, in Christ Jesus' name, we're able to conquer and defeat this virus called COVID-19 through faith. I believe that we can conquer this COVID-19. Let us open our Bibles to the book of Mark chapter 5. Excuse me. Mark chapter, verse 1. And it reads as follows. And they came to the other side of the sea, to the region of Gennesaret. When Jesus got out of the boat, immediately a man from the tombs with an unclean spirit met him. And the man lived in the tombs, and no one could bind him anymore, not even with chains, for he had often been bound with shackles and with chains, and he tore apart the chains and broke the shackles in pieces, and no one was strong enough to subdue and tame him. Night and day he was constantly screaming and shrieking among the tombs and on the mountains, and cutting himself with stones. Seeing Jesus from a distance, he ran up and bowed down before him, and screaming with a loud voice, he said, "What business do we have, in common with each other? Jesus, Son of the Most High God, I implore you by God, do not torment me." For Jesus had been saying to him, "Come out of this man, you unclean spirit." He was asking him, "What is your name?" And he replied, "My name is Legion, for we are many." And he began begging him repeatedly not to send them out of the region. Now there was a large herd of pigs grazing there on the mountain. And the demons begged him, saying, send us to the pigs so that we may go into them. Jesus gave them permission, and the unclean spirits came out and entered the pigs. The herd, numbering about 2,000, rushed down the steep bank into the sea, and they were drowned in the sea. The herdsman ran away and reported it in the city and it in the country. And the people came to see what had happened. They came to Jesus and saw the man who had been demon-possessed sitting down, clothed in his right mind. The man who had the legion, and they, let me read that again. They came to Jesus and saw the man who had been demon-possessed sitting down, clothed and in his right mind, the man who had the legion, and they were frightened. Those who had seen it described to the people what had happened to the demon-possessed man and about the pigs. So the people began to beg with Jesus to leave their region as he was stepping into the boat. The man who had been demon-possessed was begging him that he might go with him. Jesus did not let him, but he said to him, "Go home to your family and tell them all the great things." "That the Lord has done for you and how he has had mercy on you." So he went away and began to publicly proclaim in Decapolis all the great things that Jesus had done for him, and all the people were astonished. Now, with this situation, with this man, the story reads itself out, or the story explains itself. Here's a man who can be subdued on all human standards, but Jesus, coming in authority, delivered this man from what everyone else struggled to deliver him from. What Jesus did effortlessly, it's what man struggled with their own strategies, trying to bind him in shackles and any kind of humanly way. So do I believe in miracles? Most definitely I do. I believe miracles in the name of Jesus, not in the name of these clowns entertaining goats. I believe in miracles that come in the name of Jesus. Now let's continue. When Jesus had crossed over in the boat to the other side, a large crowd gathered around him. And so he stayed by the seashore. And one of the synagogue officials named Jairus came up and, seeing him, fell at his feet and begged anxiously with him, saying, "My little daughter is at the point of death. Come and lay your hands on her so that she will be healed and live." And Jesus went with him, and a large crowd followed him and pressed in around him. A woman had suffered a hemorrhage for 12 years and had endured much at the hands of many physicians. She had spent all that she had and was not helped at all, but instead had become worse. She had heard about Jesus, and she came up behind him in the crowd and touched his outer robe, for she thought, "If I just touch his clothing, I will get well." Immediately her flow of blood was dried up, and she felt it in her body that she was healed of her suffering. Immediately Jesus, recognizing in himself that power had gone out from him, turned around in the crowd and asked, "Who touched my clothes?" His disciples said to him, "You see the crowd pressing in around you, and you ask, 'Who touched me?'" Still, he kept looking around to see the woman who had done it. And the woman, though she was afraid and trembling, aware of what had happened to her, came and fell down before him and told him the whole truth. Then he said to her, Daughter of faith, your faith has healed you. Go in peace and be healed from your suffering." While he was still speaking, some people came from the synagogue official's house saying, "Your daughter has died. Why bother the teacher any longer?" Overhearing what was being said, Jesus said to the synagogue official, "Do not be afraid. Only keep on believing." And he allowed no one to go with him except Peter and James and John, the brother of James. They came to the house of the synagogue official, and he looked at the uproar and commotion and people loudly weeping and wailing. When he had gone in, he said to them, "Why make a commotion and weep? The child has not died, but he's sleeping." They began laughing at him, but he made them all go outside and took along the child's father and mother and his own companions, and entered the room where the child was. Taking the child's hand, he said to her, "Talita kum," which translated, "Little girl, I say to you, get up." The little girl immediately got up and began to walk, for she was 12 years of age. And immediately they were overcome with great wonder and utter amazement. He gave strict orders that no one should know about this, and told them to give us something to eat. From the same chapter, three miracles took place effortlessly in the name of Jesus. No drama, simplicity, great power, all in the name of Jesus. Do I believe in miracles? Most definitely I do. And I would advise you, believers of Christ, to read the word. Have devotions. Or have family devotion. Have devotion with your neighbors. So that you remain strong in the word. And not give in to this fear of this overinflated and lies portrayed about this COVID-19. Yes, the virus probably exists, but they're making it bigger than what it is. And when you're in the word, you know that you're protected. You know that you're protected. Nothing is too big or too small for God. God handles all. Open your Bible again. Share the word with your loved ones. And be blessed.
Well, that's all we had time for today. Let us meet next week, same time, same place, the Lord willing. This is your radio station, United Kingdom Radio Network, USA World. My name is Chikoti, all the way from Joburg, South Africa. God bless you.
Produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S., or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll free, USA. 1-347-850-8560. Toll free, international callers. 1-888-201-5313.